Welcome to Torah Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu, Perek 35. In the last perek, we read about how Edom will be destroyed, beginning with the representative angel in heaven. This heavenly battle will allow the evil nations to be destroyed on earth. When this happens, their land will be taken over by wild animals who will live there forever. This perek is here to give those in Galus chizuk, strength, to realize that there will be an end to Galus and things will change for the better. When Edom is finally destroyed, Israel will blossom and grow. Psukim 1 and 2 describe this growth. Yesusum midbar betzia. The wilderness and the parched land shall be glad. Yerushalayim, which is referred to as a wilderness because it was destroyed by invaders, will be overjoyed by the destruction of Edom. In proportion to how much Edom will be destroyed, that is how much Yerushalayim will grow and blossom. Edom had caused parts of Israel to become a wilderness. Now those parts will rejuvenate more than they ever did before. In the future, the regular trees will turn into fruit-bearing trees. The most arid cities will become beautiful, and Yerushalayim will become the most exceptionally beautiful city of all. Pasuk 2 describes the joy of the land when it becomes exceptional. Parach tifrach v'sagel, af gilas v'ranin. It will blossom a lot and it will rejoice together with joy and singing. In addition to its blossoming and growth, the Kvod HaLevanon, the glory of the Lebanon, which is a way that to refer to the Beis Hamikdash, and the glory of Hashem will return to the lands. The Malbim says that the land will continuously sprout. It will not be a one-time miracle that happens at the time of Mashiach's arrival. Rather, each day, there will be more good news and more new miracles. The joy will renew itself all the time. The Pasuk describes the change, the positive changes, happening in stages. First, the wilderness will be able to be settled again, and then the trees will blossom. The Geula will happen in stages as well, so that we can adjust to the new reality and will not be overwhelmed by the goodness we experience. The Ma'am Loes notices that there are two things happening in this pasuk. There is flowering and growth, and there is joy. The Jewish people will be complete in two ways. First, they will be physically restored and their land will again produce all they need. And second, they will be spiritually renewed, as they will be able to feel joy again. Yeshayahu has this beautiful nevuah, but he sees a long and bitter galus ahead before this nevuah becomes reality. He tells the other spiritual leaders, the Nevi'im, and the Talmidei Chachamim throughout time, that they need to help the people who live through this galus to have hope. The Radak says Yeshayahu is not just addressing the scholars, but he is also talking to those who still have their emunah intact and know that Hashem can bring the geula any day. They should focus on helping others have that faith as well. When they see other people are broken and losing their emunah, they should help them. Yeshayahu tells the leaders and those with emunah, Pasuk 3, Chazku yadayim rafos, strengthen those with weak hands. The people who are depressed and feel like they are too weak to accomplish anything, strengthen them, make them see that they can do more. Ubirkayim koshlos ametsu. They should make firm the people who are fighting to keep going, but they're collapsing to their knees from all the sorrows, the troubles. Those people have faith, but they just don't have energy to fight the troubles anymore. They should work on helping those people as well. They should say to those who are pasuk 4, the nimhare lev, to those who are confused in galus from all the troubles that they are facing and worried if the geula is ever coming, they should say to them, Chizku al tira'u, stay strong, do not fear. Hinei Elokechem nakam yavo, hear your God, he will come with a vengeance. Gemul Elokim, he will have the payback of Hashem. Hu yavo v'yoshachem, he will come and he's going to save you. One of the reasons that people become very worried in galus about whether the geula will ever come is because we live without a clear message from Hashem that he's there. We live with a veil that hides how the hand of Hashem guides all that is happening. this veil, this hiddenness, this fact that Hashem does not directly intervene in our lives that we can see clearly, leads us to ignore the messages to do tshuva and change. In the times of Mashiach, this veil will not be there, and we are going to receive the messages from Hashem directly. Pasuk 5. Az tibakachna enei ivrim. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Baznei chershim tipasachna. And the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. We are going to be able to see and hear Hashem's messages clearly. We will also see how Hashem has intervened on our behalf throughout Galus, and we can listen to our leaders and do tshuva. The Geula will be so beautiful in other ways, beyond just the land and our spiritual awakening. Right now, it is if we are spiritually and emotionally lame and injured. Rav Schwab explains that being lame means that a person cannot get from point A to point B easily. We hobble along through life. This is what's happening to us, both physically and spiritually. So many of us, when we want to do something better, we have the best of intentions. We want to change and grow. But then we have an idea, something comes up, we say, that's a great idea, let me start this new spiritual endeavor. But then we get distracted and frustrated, and our best intentions for ourselves fall to the wayside. We are hobbling along in our path of growth. In the times of Geula, Pasuk 6, Az yidale ka'ayal piseach, then shall the lame man leap like a deer. In the times of Geula, we will be able to move and accomplish both physically and spiritually. In addition, while we are in Galus, we are speechless and often numb from the tragedy that surrounds us. In the times of the Geula, we will finally be able to feel joy, the saron lashon ilim, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. We have already said how the land will grow and how the people will be healed. Another aspect of the future in the land of Israel will be that previously arid places will have water. Ki nifku ba'midbar mayim unachalim ba'arava. For in the wilderness, the waters will break out and there will be streams in the desert. Rav Schwab says that it does not only mean that there will be additional water sources in the land, although that will happen as well. This will also be how we feel emotionally. We currently have so much pent-up emotions. In the time of the Geula, they can finally burst forth. Where we were once anxious and depressed, we will be happy and free. The Malbim says this will also be how we feel spiritually. Rather than feeling like we're being held back and not able to accomplish what we want and not able to focus on doing the mitzvos, we will move forward in our avodas Hashem, in our service of Hashem, and doing his mitzvos. What had once been completely dried up, a sharav, will be flowing with water. All the arid and dry locations will have water flowing through them. This can mean physically in the lands, but also spiritually and emotionally. Even if a place or a person is naturally depressed, Hashem will produce new sources of water, new sources of hope to heal them and their lands. In the times of Geula, one might ask, how is everybody going to get from there to here? How are they going to get from Galus into Yerushalayim? Hashem promises that no matter where people are, he's going to make a new path for them so that they can come home, and that path will never have been there before. Pasuk 8. V'haya sham maslul v'derech, v'derech hakodesh yikarei la. And a highway will be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness, because the holy nation will walk there. We had this happen to us when we left Mitzrayim and we went through the desert. A cloud of Hashem led us on the way. This is how we will experience leaving Galus in the future. Just as Hashem made it completely comfortable for us to leave Egypt and go through the desert, it will be comfortable for us to leave from the Galus and come into the Geula. Even though the people will be walking through areas that were previously unsafe, that were formerly wilderness, these areas will no longer be dangerous. When it is time to be saved, Hashem will care for the people and lead them through these paths. There won't be lions or tigers and bears. Rather, those who are being saved will be on this path to the redemption and will walk without any fear of being attacked. This time when we're returning to Yerushalayim is going to be completely different than the other times when we return to the land of Israel. We return to the land of Israel after the Gullus of Babel, after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. The Jews came back in the times of Ezra. There, when they returned, they came with worries and were attacked by the local population. In the time of Geula, in the future, Pasuk 10, Ufduye Hashem Yeshuvun, the ransomed ones of Hashem will return. Uva'u Tzion Berina, they will come to Tzion with song, v'simchas olam al rosham, with an eternal joy on their head. Now in Gullus, when we have troubles, the aftermath of those troubles lasts us for many years. We deal with the trauma for many years after any trouble. Even after a Jew is saved or released from captivity, the horrors and the trauma follow him. In the future, in the times of Geula, those who are saved will have no baggage. They will be singing and joyful. They will also not need to worry that the peace is short-lived. There will be a simchas olam, an eternal joy on their head. In the times of Geula, sason v'simcha yasigu v'nasu yagon v'anacha. They will reach gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing are just going to flee away. When we live in Gullus now, our happy times are often tinged with sadness as we remember those we have lost and those who are suffering. A wedding and a funeral can take place in the same day. In the times of the Geula, we will only have sason and simcha, joy and happiness, as there will be no place for yagon v'anacha, for grief and sighing. This parak describes how the land and the people will heal in the time of Mashiach after Edom is destroyed. This parak ends the first part of Sefer Yeshayahu on a note of hope for the future. The next four parakim will bring us back to the stories of Chizkiyahu, to the narrative, and we will see how he was saved and the tragedy at the end of his reign. Sefer Yeshayahu then ends with 26 parakim of consolation as we look toward the time of the Geula. One lesson that I took from this parak is what we each can do while we are in Gullus. As it's said in the parak, life is a contradiction of joy and grief at the same time. Sometimes we have faith and are strong, and other times it is too much. At the beginning of the parak, Yeshayahu asks us that when we are in a good place and we have strength, we should share it with others. They may buckle under the pressure of Gullus, and they may need us to support them. For us, we should do that, because it's a bit selfish. We know that we may also buckle at some point, and we will need our friends to be there for us. In addition, Yeshayahu is telling the spiritual leaders that their main role in Gullus is to help those who are suffering. Their goal is not to live isolated, away in their spiritual worlds. The Chidah says that this help is tzedaka, and as we said before, it is the merit of tzedaka with which we will be saved. When we think we are helping someone else, it's really ourselves who we are helping. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was the Rav of Brisk, who was known for his depth of Torah learning. His methodology is called the Brisker Method, and it transformed the vocabulary and style of Talmud study. One would think that for this scholar, his Torah would be the priority. However, when he died, the first line on his tombstone was that he was Rav HaChesed, the rabbi who did kindness. Rav Chaim's house was open to all. In Rav Chaim's living room, beggars would put up notices on the wall. They would sleep on his couches. He would always be careful not to disturb them. Sometimes, his wife or children would walk into the bedroom and find that Rav Chaim had invited some poor people to sleep there and no one in the family had beds. There was a huge fire in the town, and many homes were destroyed, specifically in the poor neighborhoods. Rav Chaim devoted himself to helping the penniless survivors. He insisted on sleeping in the hallway of the synagogue. He asked, how could he sleep in his bed if there were so many who didn't even have a roof over theirs? Rav Chaim was once having an important meeting with a Beis Din in Brisk. A pauper came into the room, ate Rav Chaim's lunch, and fell asleep on his couch. Rav Chaim warned everybody there not to disturb the poor man. Mothers would leave babies on his doorstep if they were unable to take care of them or their babies were too sick. Rav Chaim hired women to feed the babies and take care of them in his home. He had a rule. Anyone could ask for something, and the family would need to give it without a complaint. Once, someone asked Rav Velvel, his son, for his pen. Rav Velvel was in the middle of writing some of the Torah thoughts of Rav Chaim, and Rav Velvel asked this man to wait a minute. Rav Chaim got very upset and said, what's going on here that we don't lend our pens? Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the great scholar and Talmud Chacham, heard Yeshayahu's message in our parak and lived by that message. always trying to help and strengthen those who are weak or collapsed. Let us continue to support and strengthen each other until we merit the times of complete joy without worry. Thank you for learning together, Le'iloi Nishmas Barbara Atlas Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.